You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Recent statistics on inflation published earlier this week showed that consumer prices had risen by 2.7% in the last 12 months to June. Stats NZ identified the main contributor to inflation as local authority rates and payments, which were up by 12.2%. Earlier this week, the Green Party recently called on the government to lower the minimum voting age to 16, which was in response to a move by the UK government last week, where they announced their plans to lower the age to 16 in time for their next general election. And the most recent figures from the Ministry of Social Development were published, which showed that benefit sanctions had increased by 27% compared to last year, with the number of people receiving the benefit also increasing by 6.6%. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, we spoke with MP Ricardo Menendez March to get the party's take on all of these issues. To begin, what was the Green Party's reaction to the latest inflation figures?
The key thing here is that we've got compounding factors of the government having cut tens of thousands of jobs while then stripping away a record number of people, at least in the past 5 years, of receiving income support. That's leaving people most affected by inflation without the means to survive. And we've got to remember that rents and food also rose above the average inflation, which are two huge factors contributing to hardship.
So in your view, how much of the current inflationary pressure is being driven by global factors, and how much of it stems from decisions made by the current government?
Well, if we look at rents that have consistently risen above the average inflation, we know that those are largely driven by government decisions. The fact that we still have rents that are massively unaffordable and are one of the key factors in driving inflation shows that the government's $3 billion to landlords is not trickling down to cheaper rents for people across the country. And this is why we need things like more public housing, rent controls, and tax reform, so that it's not poor people who have to basically be sacrificed to lower inflation as opposed to the wealthy few.
Finance Minister Nicola Willis said that the rate of inflation was still within the Reserve Bank's target range and is therefore under control. How would you respond to that?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the statistics that speak more to people's living conditions show that things are still getting worse for our poorest. And this is the thing. The government is quite happy to manage inflation by doing things like cutting jobs, which is a choice, doing things like trying to apparently give billions of dollars to landlords, hoping that those will trickle down into cheaper rents, which is not working. There are better ways to deal with inflation, and that is by taxing the wealthy few so that we actually have a way to that is deflationary, and then actually funding public services like free GPs, free ECE, and the things that people need to be well and address the cost of living.
Nicola Willis also contrasted today's 2.7% inflation rate with the 7.3% peak under the previous Labour government. So in your view, how does the current government's choices compare to those of the last government in terms of tackling inflation?
Yeah, look, I think any government, if we had had COVID under a national government, they would have also experienced high inflation. I think it's disingenuous and frankly intellectually dishonest of Nicola Willis to be looking at one of the rainy days that Treasury actually prepares for, like a pandemic, to then contrast with government decisions being made today. The reality is what this government chose to do to deal with inflation was cut tens of thousands of jobs, and this is why we're seeing less jobs available for people and more people applying for the few jobs that exist. This means that when we do have inflation driven by global factors or contributing by global factors, it is the unemployed and the poor who end up paying the biggest price.
And earlier you mentioned a wealth tax, but how else would a Greens-led government tackle inflation?
Well, part of our plan to tackle inflation would be to ensure that we have deflationary measures that don't punish our poorest. Tax reform is a key part of that, but then also our fiscal strategy helps ensure that we can, for example, invest on things that do not end up pushing our poorest into a much harder situation. So, for example, investing in things like our public hospitals, which end up creating jobs, ensuring that actually the rich are not profiting and actually driving up house prices. And that includes things like rent controls, which would actually ensure that rents are not able to rise above inflation measures. And that's key to ensuring that people can lead affordable lives, that people actually don't have to pay to just live.
All right, moving on to the next topic. The Green Party recently called on the government to lower the minimum voting age to 16. This is in response to a move made by the British government last week, where they announced plans to lower the voting age to 16 in time for their next general election. So my next question is, can you explain the Green Party's case for why the voting age should be lowered to 16?
I'm really proud that we've got a really long history of supporting this. I was looking at our archives and we had a members' bill back in 2008, I believe, around this. And this is because it just makes sense. 16-year-olds pay tax. They have many of the responsibilities that 18-year-olds do in our government systems. And not giving them the right to vote just does not make sense. I think it's really good that the UK, at least on this, led the way. And it shows that we're really behind. Other jurisdictions are giving 16-year-olds the right to vote. And it's critical so that our youngest can actually hold politicians to account for decisions that they make that affects them disproportionately.
How would you respond to critics that argue that 16 and 17-year-olds aren't politically informed or mature enough to vote in general elections?
There will always be a range of people with different levels of information across all age groups. To assume that a 16-year-old will be more inherently misinformed than, say, somebody my age, it's just misinformation in and of itself. I have met people of all ages that don't know how Parliament works, and I have also met 16-year-olds who are incredibly clued up about how politics work and the decisions that they want politicians to be making. So I just think that that's patronizing towards young people and diminishes their ability and power to make change.
Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith has said that the current government has no plans to lower the voting age. So will the Greens be introducing legislation to challenge that?
It has long been part of our policy, and if people want 16-year-olds to be given the right to vote, the Green Party has been the only party consistently pushing for this. The Labour Party has not been consistent on this issue, as have other political parties. So we'll continue our push and our commitment to make this as part of one of the things that we will fight for should we be leading our government.
All right, moving on to the last topic. Recent figures from the Ministry of Social Development have shown that benefit sanctions have increased by 27% compared to last year, with the number of people receiving the benefit also increasing by 6.6%. These figures bring the percentage of the working age population receiving a main benefit up to 12.5%, which is over 400,000 people in Aotearoa, New Zealand. My next question is, what was your reaction to these statistics from the Ministry of Social Development?
The statistics show that this is a government that once again has not just increased unemployment to deal with inflation, cut thousands of jobs, and now is basically punishing people on the benefit with benefit sanctions that have no evidence that actually support people into employment. Benefit sanctions basically sanction someone's ability to survive. And I think it's just reeks of cruelty for the government to be championing more people basically being left without the means to put food on the table.
Social Development Minister Louise Upston has denied that the current policies are punishing beneficiaries, instead arguing that the sanctions are only applied when people fail to meet their work obligations. How would you respond to that?
Louise Upston is just completely out of touch, and she needs to get out more and talk to people on the benefit. Beneficiaries that I have talked with who have been sanctioned, often it's because of missed appointments where work and income didn't adequately communicate with them because they didn't accommodate circumstances that arose that meant that somebody couldn't make an appointment. And often these appointments for so-called, you know, work seminars or whatever it may be, have no evidence of actually supporting people into employment. It's hard enough if you're somebody who's basically living week to week. Some people live literally living day to day. And that takes up a lot of your time, it creates a lot of stress, and it can lead to the kind of stress that affects your mental health. And so I think what we need is to lift income levels above the poverty line, which is something that Child Poverty Action Group talked about in the recent report, highlighting the hardships that our families face and how things will get harder. So again, I just go back to the issue of Louise Upston being completely out of touch and actually just being on a mission to punish those doing it the toughest.
So are the obligations for those on job seeker support actually feasible?
They just don't work. The ministry does not have evidence that they meaningfully support people into employment. In fact, we have evidence domestically and internationally talking about the harm that benefit sanctions cause, because if you take someone's benefit away and leave them without literally the means to put food on the table to pay their rent, the only thing you're actually doing is not helping someone get a job. You're basically pushing them to become homeless. You're pushing them to go to a food bank, which in and of itself is time that could be better used providing for your family, or, for example, seeking employment that matches your skills and aspirations.
And if the Greens were leading the government, how would your approach to welfare reform differ from the policies under this current government?
As Child Poverty Action Group highlighted today, this week, what we would be doing is lifting the income levels so that people are not living in poverty, and we would be getting rid of sanctions. Instead, what we would be investing is in creating tens of thousands of jobs through Ministry of Green Works that will give then people the ability to enter into employment that matches their skills and aspirations, as opposed to what this government is doing, which is cutting tens of thousands of jobs and making more people compete for fewer jobs available out there.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March talking to us about the recently published inflation statistics, the Greens' call to lower the voting age to 16, and the most recent unemployment statistics on beneficiaries.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.